And joining me right now here on a Friday to go over the latest on the NFL draft as round one is now in the books. This guy was doing his live show last night to talk all things NFL draft. He's my good friend Alan Slaughter-Zinsky with Brevard Sports Network. Alan, how you doing today?
I'm doing great, Mark. And, man, I just love this time of year.
I do, too. Let's start with the obvious. Six quarterbacks in the top 12. What are your thoughts?
I don't think it surprises anybody. I do think where they went, and not in terms of the first three, because those were chalk picks. I think everybody, and even those that don't know anything about the NFL, could have landed those three. But I think it's the Michael Penix pick by the Atlanta Falcons that really began to throw people off. And then at that point, the panic sets in, and the Minnesota Vikings realize, well, you know what? We better do something here. We're going to need a quarterback. J.J. McCarthy may not stick around. And then all of a sudden the Denver Broncos are like, well, hey, wait a minute here. This is all we have on our depth chart. We better go get Bo Nix. So I think once the Atlanta Falcons shocked the world in taking Michael Penix Jr., I think things got a little crazy at that point.
I was in complete shock by that pick. Just complete shock. I think you could have traded down and got him in the teens. And I have to go with my gut reaction. I think they're the dumbest team in football. And I like Penix Jr. I don't know what they're doing, and I think it was a stupid pick. How about you?
I agree with you. If you were going to take either Penix Jr. or J.J. McCarthy, they made the right pick there. But listen, this is a team that plays in arguably one of the worst divisions in football who just missed making the playoffs last season. And they were really a player or two away from kind of getting over that hump. They went out, they signed Kirk Cousins. They have Taylor Heineke as a backup there. Not hateful. Michael Penix Jr. is not going to be any better than Taylor Heineke coming off the bench next year, I don't think. I mean, knowing the system like Heineke knows it. But, listen, they got Bijan Robinson in that backfield. You look at their wide receivers. I mean, Darnell Mooney, Rondale Moore, Drake London. I mean, they've got decent wide receivers. The defense is not hateful. This was a team that really needed an impact type of a player that's going to come in this season and start for this team. That's not Michael Penix Jr.
It was wild. What about the Chargers at five, where they got Alt, the offensive lineman? Was that a shock for you?
No, not at all. Because if you listen to Jim Harbaugh speak, he will tell you every time that when you go in and you start building franchises and programs, you always must start in the trenches. And if you look at his teams at Michigan for the past two seasons, his offensive line was the best in college football 2 years ago, and they were the second best in college football this past season. Listen, it's not a sexy pick, but it's a pick that's going to make the Chargers better immediately, and most certainly in the long term. You get that pedigree of the blood on the offensive line. They needed wide receiver help. There's no doubt about that. But this is a deep draft. And if you can go get a guy like a Joe Alt out of a school like a Notre Dame, who's proven to produce top-notch NFL offensive linemen, you take that opportunity. And I think this was a damn good pick by the Chargers.
What about the Giants at six, where you get Malik Nabers? Did you like that pick?
Love the pick. I mean, listen, Daniel Jones had one of the worst offensive lines in football. He had nobody to throw the football to. I really like this pick. I thought, a lot of people are going to tell you that the Giants needed to go quarterback here, but does anybody truly believe that J.J. McCarthy or Michael Penix Jr. is really going to be any better than Daniel Jones next season? And next season really is where the Giants need to get through. After 2024, Mark, Daniel Jones doesn't have any more guaranteed money coming to him. So it's just this year. Yes, I like the pick, of neighbors. He can grow into a true number one wideout. He's got blazing speed. And I think the Giants did the right thing here.
We're with Alan Slutersinski, Brevard Sports Network, going over the latest on the NFL draft. Round one in the books, 2 and 3 coming up tonight on a Friday night, then the rest of it on Saturday. All right, when Penix Jr. went 8, I was in complete shock because I thought they would take Rome Odunze at number 8. And then my Bears went up and got him at 9. What did you think of my Bears with their picks?
I thought the Bears had I think the Bears hit a grand slam last night. Here's what I think about what your Bears did last night. Could the Bears have used an edge rusher at 9, and were there was the best edge rusher in this draft still on the board at number 9? Yep. But this is a franchise, Mark, that's been living off the 1985 Chicago Bears for years, and I mean years, that legacy right there. What the Chicago Bears did last night, and what's your GM's name, Ryan Pohl?
Yeah.
And what he did last night was he completely threw caution to the wind, and he said, you know what, this is a league built around offense. The better your offense, the better your football team. And he went out and he got, you know, probably, you know, you could flip a Dunze and you could flip Neighbors, and you know, and who knows? But they're both good wide receivers, right? So I love the fact that the Bears actually stuck to their guns here. They went out and they got a Dunze. And you look at that depth chart of wide receivers right now, Mark, and if a Dunze can produce like a lot of what rookie wide receivers have in their first year over the last 10 years in the NFL, it could be the most lethal wide receiving core in the National Football League next year.
The forward pass is coming to Chicago. So I keep laughing.
It certainly is.
Who's your number one receiver in that offense?
Wow. You know, that's a really good question. I think, you know, I don't know. I don't know. Who do you think it is?
I still think it's DJ Moore. I think he's your number one guy in this offense.
Well, here's the thing. When you get in there and you look at this, you got a new quarterback coming in, and he's gonna settle in. He's gonna find his own guy.
Yes.
You know what I mean? So all bets are off. That's why I say I don't know who the number one guy is gonna be. I think it's gonna be a Dunze.
He's big, 6'3". All right, here's my thing. My brother called me. Don't worry, he's super hyped. It's funny, my brother, he's been on the Justin Fields bandwagon this whole time. But something happened last night where he got super excited, and now he's all in on Caleb Williams. That's 6 quarterbacks. 5 were taken after Caleb Williams. This Caleb Williams guy better be good, because you have 5 guys right behind you where their pressure's on. This can't be a bad pick. He has to produce for the Bears, Alan.
Listen, I think he will. I don't think there's – I mean, he's a strange cuss. I mean, let's not get this wrong, right? I mean – he's, you know, the painting of the nails, the jumping in the stands, crying to mom. But you know what? As he said, I watched him intently last night. I watched his reaction. He was genuinely excited to become a Chicago Bear.
Yeah.
And I think that really showed in him. And I think that this young man is truly looking forward to building a contender for years to come. He's got, you know, listen, he's got a great – he's got a very talented core of wide receiver. We already talked about that, Alan Moore, didn't they? Listen, you got a running back there, and a DeAndre Swift now, right?
Yes. Okay, they're loaded.
So, listen, yeah, you got a very talented offense here, Mark. And I think you saw what C.J. Stroud was able to do with talent last year. I think you're going to see very similar things from Caleb Williams this year.
Did you enjoy watching last night?
Yeah, I thought it was okay. I think it's a little redundant that we, you know, you go through the entire 10-minute or whatever it is period, the pick is in, and then they go to a commercial. Can't you go to a commercial while the clock is running? I mean, do we have to go to a commercial 6 times? We counted last night. 6 times. When the pick is in and the clock expires, can you not do that while the clock is running?
Did you think Eminem was going to start performing a song when he came out?
No, but I was pretty hyped to see Eminem come out. We talked about it last night on the show because, you know, Eminem is truly one of those guys that he loves the Detroit Lions, man. He absolutely He loves that football team and the mixes that he was putting together while they were making their playoff run. It is good to see entertainers like that truly love their football. And listen, say what you will about Taylor Swift, Mark, but you look at her schedule, she was at every Chiefs game. And she cheered on every play like it was the play that was going to win the Super Bowl. I don't care what you think of her. Her butt was in those stands cheering like never before, like she never has before.
If you were a billionaire, would you do that? Would you take the plane every Sunday to Baltimore to watch your team play?
Absolutely, man. Where are the Orioles tonight? Because that's probably where I'd be.
We're here on the Al Slaughter Zinsky, Brevard Sports Network. What did you think of that crowd where it looked like Lollapalooza after a while?
It, you know what it looked like? It looked like Comic-Con to me is what it looked like.
It was if you and me were there and I was like, Alan, I'm going to go to the bathroom, you'd never see me again. There's no way I'd get back. It was wild.
I was dead set against the NFL holding these drafts in other cities. I thought they should just, you know, I'm an old guy, right?
Yeah.
So I just wanted to keep it basic, keep it New York, wherever, right? But I enjoy the fact now that they take it to these different cities, the Kansas cities, the Vegases, the Detroits. I think it's good for the league, and I think it's good for the cities.
I really feel this way, and I love the NBA. The NBA should have taken the night off and not even played playoff games because they're going to get crushed in the ratings.
Yeah. Listen, man, you know, I was bummed out because I've been watching the NBA playoffs, but I was a little bummed out I didn't get a chance to see Joel Embiid beat up everybody and score 50 points last night. And, you're right.
Did you see that play? How did he not get kicked out of the game where he's trying to tackle the guy?
He should have been kicked out twice, Mark. Twice. The play where – which one are you talking about? I'm talking the one you're talking – and then there was the one where he's laying on the ground – and the guy goes up to slam the ball, and he grabs him by his legs.
That was a WWE WrestleMania-type moment. And remember,
it was crazy.
He's 7 feet tall, and he's like 300 pounds, and he's grabbing this guy. He really could have injured that guy, like really hurt him.
He had two plays last night. It should have been two flagrant twos. I couldn't believe it.
And then he drops 50. I think he should be suspended for game four. This is ridiculous. It's like, what?
Yep.
And it's funny, so I'm watching the draft, and then my coworker MJ's like, hey, what's that Magic score over there? Were they up like 40 points last night? What happened?
It's the Magic, it's the playoffs. That's all you really need to say.
They did not, in those first two games, Alan, they did not have the lead once in two basketball games. And this is why I can't do sports betting. They're like, hey, Mark, do you think they're going to win game three? No, I did not think. Mm-hmm. And then they go out and they win by like 40. What?
Yeah, Charles Barkley said the other night, and he had me laughing because he looked in the camera. He said, somebody better tell the Orlando Magic that it's the playoffs.
I know. Do you think they can win game four now, tomorrow?
Sure. You know.
I know. Your answer?
Once they leave Orlando, look out.
I think that might be every team in the NBA, where it's just like you just play better at home. Oh, wait, I got to ask you this about the draft.
Unless you're the Lakers, but go ahead.
This is true. What was Buffalo thinking? Why, under any circumstance, would you trade with the Chiefs? And then the Chiefs go up and draft the speedy receiver from Texas. What are you doing? Why would you make that trade?
First of all, I'm not fond of the Chiefs pick. This guy's a track star, basically, is what he is, right? So... Yeah, no, I hear what you're saying. I don't know what you would – I don't know why you do that. If you're the Buffalo Bills, who knows why the Bills do what they do. Let's not forget either it was the Bills who made the trade with the Chiefs in the draft that allowed the Chiefs to get Patrick Mahomes as well. So I think a lot of people forget. This is not the first time that the Buffalo Bills have made a trade with the Kansas City Chiefs in the first round, and the Chiefs have drafted somebody that may come back to bite them in the butt in the end. Because, again, you go back and look at that trade that they made on draft day to get Mahomes, and that was courtesy of the Buffalo Bills. You know what I thought was funny is that the Jaguars pick, you know, where Jacksonville ended up picking, they are now tied in with that Browns and Texans trade. So Brian Thomas will forever now be linked to that Browns and Texans trade because that original 23rd pick in that draft from the Vikings, they got from the Browns in the Texans deal.
If your Baltimore Ravens traded down and helped the Chiefs, I would hope you'd be throwing chairs through windows because I would not. Your Ravens should not be helping the Chiefs. That's what I'm trying to say.
No, we sure shouldn't, should we?
No way.
I'll tell you what, I will say this real quick here, and I thought all three Florida teams did a nice job last night with their picks. I really did. I thought the Jaguars last night, I like the fact that they traded down. I thought they got a pretty good explosive wide receiver. Big guy, nice physical frame. I don't think, you know, he's not as polished as Malik Nabers is, his counterpart at LSU. But I think when we're talking about receivers in the NFL in 3 years, I think Brian Thomas Jr. could be a guy we're talking about. I absolutely love the pick of Graham Barton by the Buccaneers right there. I mean, the Buccaneers have – listen, the fact that the Bucs have won a division 3 years in a row. Listen, since the retirements of Marpet and Jensen, the Bucs have really struggled, Mark, to try to find a dominant interior offensive lineman. This guy's going to move inside. He's going to play guard. He's going to play center. He's really versatile. I thought this was a magnificent pick by Jason Licht and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. And I also like the Dolphins pick of the kid out of Penn State, Chop Robinson. This guy, he's raw, he's athletic, he's talented, and he'll push Bradley Chubb and those guys on the outside. Bradley Chubb was a mixed bag of results last year.
Yes.
I like the pick by the Dolphins.
What about your Baltimore Ravens? Who'd they pick?
Well, listen, the Ravens to me, they went out and they got a cornerback last night, and I'm okay with that. I think the guy's name eludes me, but I like the pick. I can't remember the guy's name, right. But the kid out of Clemson is who they got, and he's a speedster. And I think they got themselves a day one potential starter. Here's the thing about this draft that I find fascinating.
Right.
Is that you have 14 pick. You break the record, first of all, for the number of offensive picks in the first round with 21. You tie the record on the 83 draft, although please let's not get the 83 draft and this draft mixed up in terms of quarterbacks, okay? Mm. With six quarterbacks, there was really a defensive haul to be had at the end of this draft because, I mean, you stop and think about it. The first really, really dominant defensive player never came off the board. Goes to the Colts, right? But I think the Eagles and their pick of Keon Mitchell out of Toledo, that was the really first big guy. Listen, the Rams, they reach up and they grab Jared Verse. I thought that was a reach for the Rams. I think the best value pick of this draft belongs to the Las Vegas Raiders with Brock Bowers. But who in the hell is going to throw him the ball?
I have no idea. Your guy you're thinking of is named Nate Wiggins from Clemson.
Out of Clemson.
That's
yeah.
What it is. What did you think of Ricky Pearsall, the Gators receiver, going to San Francisco at 31?
A lot of people didn't like that pick, Mark. I like that pick for the 49ers. I do. And I think this sets up an interesting scenario for the Niners because I'm not so sure that when they kick off, that Debo Samuel is going to be on that football team. I know the Niners have explored trading Debo, and I know this because I know that the Ravens and the 49ers have discussed this. This is going to be interesting to see what they do. But I like that pick by the 49ers.
They need to keep Debo Samuel. All right, on the nine. He is a great part of their offense. Like, they need him.
I don't disagree, but I know they've – listen, for 2 years they've tried to trade this guy, man.
He is a stud. Like, a stud for that offense.
I don't know what to tell you, man.
All right, I'll take him on the Bears. We'll go four deep. Let's go.
How many do you need?
To beat the Packers? I need 20. I need everything in the kitchen sink to beat those... Wait, this is a family show. I was about to start swearing. I'm sorry. I'm like, God.
You're that hyped, aren't you?
I'm telling you, my brother, we talked last night at about 11 o'clock at night. I go to bed. He calls me again at 7 a.m. And he's like, I'm ready. And I was like, you know what? You're right. Let's go. Okay. Let's go. I am ready. So what is your coverage? What are you going to watch tonight? What are you doing?
Yeah, I'll watch tonight. I'll watch tomorrow, and then Sunday night, we'll recap. I think you and I maybe talked about maybe trying to get together. We'll see. We'll see how it all works out. But we're definitely going to recap this thing on Sunday night. Deliver winners, losers, give our grades, and have some fun with it. And we really had fun last night, and that's what it was about. We were fans watching with other fans, and you know, that's what this thing is all about. Because let's face it, Mark. Nobody knows which one of these guys are going to be superstars in this league. This is not an exact science. It never has been. It never will be.
It's a great point to end on. And don't forget, the Panthers, they still owe my Bears a second-round pick next year. What?
And, yeah, Jackson is a huge Carolina fan, and he made the comment last night to me. He said, listen, tell your buddy Mark that for the first time in a couple of years I've actually been able to enjoy watching a first round, not panicking over how my Panthers are going to screw up a pick.
Every person last year at this time's like, Bryce Young, great pick at one. Hey, great pick. The Panthers got their guy. That's what I'll think about. And you can't give up on him yet, right? He's still got a chance. They got to get some weapons for him in rounds 2 through 5 now.
I still think he's going to be a good one in this league. So tonight they get the first pick, right? I think they have the first pick tonight.
They traded up to 32. Maybe they don't. All right. Do we have to do this?
That's a look, yeah.
Yeah, I'm going to do this real quick, and then I'll let you go. Got to make sure we have everything right. No, they traded up with Buffalo. So Buffalo is the 33. But man, look, I'm getting my 18 jersey, buddy. That's right. He's wearing 18 for the Bears, not 13. Yeah. Williams,
all right.
18.
Let me say this too. Let me end with this real quick, and I know you gotta go.
Yeah.
I think the best pick of the draft last night, the pick that secures a franchise for years to come, was Jaden Daniels to Washington. They had lost a lot of fans in D.C., knowing this because I lived up there. A lot of Lamar Jackson fans in Washington now, because they're only 35 miles apart. Jaden Daniels will bring that fan base back to the Commanders. I thought that was the right pick over Drake May for both on and off the football field for that franchise.
I agree with you. That's a great point. Alan Slaughter-Zinsky, Brevard Sports Network, thanks for your help and have a great weekend.
Appreciate you, buddy.